Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to another amazing episode of Raw Islam. And we are the award nominated, the podcast 2017 award nominated podcast. I repeated myself there. That's cool. That's why we do these live, is so we can have fun moments like that. And so where was I? Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the man of the hour, the man whose name is literally on the show, please say assalamu alaikum to Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace and greetings to all. We want to welcome all our listeners tonight to another interesting, mind-boggling episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar and, of course, our dear friend Carl. And, you know, Carl, I want to begin by just saying that I think this podcast should ultimately evolve into a 24/7 news production, because there's so much happening. Like, we try to do these things weekly, once a week. It's a weekly basis thing that we do, but there's so much that occurs in between those 6 and 7 days that you could talk for hours about it. Like, you know, let's just recap right now. Trump just reinstated travel ban 3.0, right? Another travel ban is in, and he included another few countries, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. Trump has been busy all weekend tweeting about the NFL. Apparently, he's got issues with people kneeling on one knee in respect of, but assumed to be disrespectful to the flag. And you know, Carl, you know what disrespect to the flag is?
So this is going to be kind of a weird topic for me, because I am a veteran, and correct. I know they say, oh, you're disrespecting all the veterans, but I actually heard the story of how Kaepernick came to be kneeling at the games. Apparently, he was initially sitting on the bench, and a former Navy SEAL said, hey, sitting during the national anthem is kind of offensive. When we lose a fellow soldier in combat, we kneel in respect to those that had fallen at the casket when the casket goes by. And that's how Kaepernick came to be kneeling. And it turned out that he was actually doing that before Obama, or while Obama was still president. So this isn't a Trump thing. This isn't it's a protest, and I'm kind of okay with all of these guys doing this. I don't know if that's right or wrong to say, but I served in the military to defend the First Amendment. These guys aren't hurting anybody. Let them do what they need to do. Now, however, according to the UCMJ Military Code of Justice, the cutting of a flag to make, say, a poncho, as our future Senator Kid Rock has been known to do, and just process that for a second, Senator Kid Rock, and also having a flag vertical, like laying it across a field, is also incorrect. And the list goes on. It's actually two chapters, chapter 10 and chapter 11. And the list goes on and on. It's not supposed to be knitted. It's not supposed to be worn. And when it is finally done, and oddly enough, this is something that, and I don't know how many people actually realize this, but this is something that's very similar to the Quran. When a flag and a Quran have both reached their maximum use and they cannot be used anymore, mm-hmm. they're burned. That's the only way to get rid of them.
Our video stalled just for a minute there, but I got most of what you said, and exactly the point I'm trying to say here is that we are claiming this to be disrespect of the flag, but as you stated in the two chapters, if a person reads the laws of the flag, you'll find out to use the flag for advertisement purposes, to put it on a cake, to use it as a napkin, to use it on a plate, to use it as underwears or a bandana, whatever else it is. This is actual disrespect of the flag. And, you know,
yeah, as a veteran, flag underwear is offensive. I'm just putting that out there.
And let me tell you something, Carl. When I was in Times Square a few months ago, there was a guy in Times Square only in his underwears, and that was an American flag underwear with a cowboy hat and a guitar, and the back of it said Trump. And disrespectful.
His name is the Naked Cowboy, and yeah, that's actually his shtick. That's what he does for a living, believe it or not.
And again, this is called utter, blatant, open disrespect of the flag based on what is written in the books, and you could go read it. But again, this is not what our show about. That's not what our show is about tonight. Despite the fact that Trump tweeted all weekend, I think 27 times now against the NFL, and only three times, Carl, Tuesday night, it's only three times he's tweeted about Puerto Rico that was hit by Maria and devastated by Hurricane Maria. People still don't have electricity. There's no more food. There's no water. People are in a very dire state. Over 3.5 million people face disease and death as we speak. And for those who need a reminder, Puerto Rico is America, and America is Puerto Rico. And despite the fact, let's put that aside, even if Puerto Rico wasn't part of America, Puerto Rico is a neighboring land from the great land of America, and it's our moral and civil duty to reach out to any human being, doesn't matter where they are, doesn't matter if they're in Jamaica, doesn't matter if they're in the Caribbean. These are human beings who are suffering right now. But again, priorities is what we would talk about. But guess what, Carl? We're not going to talk about tonight about the NFL or Puerto Rico and the devastation, but we are going to pray for those who are afflicted by the trauma of these hurricanes, especially Puerto Rico right now. They're coming off of what happened with Maria and, of course, Dominican. We're going to pray to the Lord that Allah gives them peace and assists them and sends down His mercy and blessings and restores the basic needs for them so that they could continue to survive as human beings. And lastly, Carl, North Korea declared war on America this morning. But you know what? We're not even going to talk about that, because you know what? We're living in a world today where people are actually writing articles on Google how to prepare for World War III. But again, you know, Carl, we're not even going
to I think you do this just to mess with me, because you know that the minute you say that stuff, my blood pressure goes up. And I'm like, yeah, and let me tell you.
And your face turns red. So I think it's a good indication that we are engaging you in this podcast. So hopefully we're engaging our listeners. But Carl, you know what? It's time to reel it in. And it's time to focus on what's happening in our neck of the woods. When we talk about our neck of the woods, what's happening in our homes, what's happening in our communities, what's happening in our country, we are facing an epidemic of epic proportions never witnessed before. Carl, tell me about it.
So this is actually one thing that I was, I don't know, I was really sad to read into it really far, because I know that, again, Trump and his tweets, he called New Hampshire, like, you know, a drug den, and essentially it was completely infested and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, that's my state. I was born and raised. And if you're a born and raised, you know, Granite Stater, it's in your blood. It doesn't ever leave you. It's that's your home. And when he said that, he was talking about my home state. And that was really offensive. But beyond that, because it's really not that bad, I'm my oldest daughter lives there still, and it's not that bad, at least where she is, but that's beside the point. because nationwide, not just New Hampshire, not just Florida, not just Virginia, D.C., nationwide, we currently have an opium epidemic. Opioids are getting overprescribed, overused, and people are able to get them very easily. You go to the doctor and you're like, oh, I got this little pain right here. Can I get some? And people doctor shop and they continuously get their prescriptions refilled. And it's really easy to get it. In fact, so much so that there is an addiction problem to it. And beyond that, this week, CVS came out and said, we're only giving people a 7-day prescription moving forward. So people have been doctor shopping. Now I wonder if they're going to have to start pharmacy shopping as well, because the opioids are just, they're killing us literally. I'm actually going to turn it back over to you, because I know you were just at a rally for this last weekend. But while you do that, I'm going to go to Sheikh Google, because there are some numbers that I want to add to the conversation, like daily deaths and things like that. But with that, please tell us about the rally you were at.
So basically, what we're trying to cover tonight is, as Carl articulated in a very clear way, opioid addiction hitting our communities right now. And I want to begin by talking about the Muslim community, because there's some type of stigma or a taboo in our communities here in America till this day, that these things don't happen. You know, Carl, they say these things don't happen in our communities. They don't happen in our mosques. They don't happen in our beautiful families, because we're so culturally oriented. Wake up and smell the coffee. You know what? These things are happening, and they're happening big. I was actually invited by a friend, Danish, who is at USF, University of South Florida, and he asked me to participate on Sunday in an event and a vigil that was put together by Tampa Opioid Research Network. I want everyone to check them out. Good guys. These are students who acknowledge this to be a crisis, and I'll tell you what kind of crisis it is. According to a segment on CNN just a few days ago, every 19 minutes, a person is dying from opioid overdose, accidental opioid overdose, every 19 minutes. In 2016, 65,000 Americans died because of opioid overdoses. Now, I'm saying this because many people may think that, you know, these are drugs, just getting these drugs and you're killing yourself. No, people are prescribed these things because either they want them and they know what they can do with it, or because they have legitimate problems and they take oxycodone, hydrocodone, and there are so many other name brand medicines that come under the family of opioids that ultimately become addictive. You may have a very severe car accident and you have to be on oxycodone or hydrocodone. And after 6 to 8 months, your body cannot get off of it, because your body produces opioids in itself. But when you start taking these supplemental opioids, your body stops producing it. And when you stop taking it, you go through a stage of withdrawal. And if you don't control at that time, it's such a difficult state, Carl. People ultimately go all out, they take overdoses, and they kill themselves because the body has stopped producing these opioids. So every 19 minutes, someone is dying. So I think we've almost hit 10, 15 minutes into this podcast. By the time we finish this podcast, another person will have died in America with opioid. And this is happening in epic proportions. And that's why what the Tampa Opioid Research Network did was, we had a vigil and a discussion outside in the lawn by the Martin Luther King area, and touching stories, Carl, people's personal stories of family members who died because of opioid overdoses. And it's being abused in our world today, Carl. You know, I don't want to talk, there's so many angles of approach to cover here, but I want to talk about the one thing, the one that you also pointed towards, which is the shopping around. So there's people who are going around shopping with doctors, getting these opioid prescriptions, going to different pharmacies, local pharmacies, not even the name brand ones, and they're getting these pills and then they're taking them or they're selling them. Here in Florida, I found that they're selling for anywhere between $20-$30 a pill. Some places it's 40, some places it's 15. It all depends on the supply and demand in the market. What they do then, they take these pills, they burn them on a spoon, and then they inject this into their bloodstream. And that injection gives them a high, because remember, opioids, they have a dopamine, and this is something people get a high on. And so they take them as a drug to get high. And the reason that they're taking this drug to get high is for many reasons, Carl. These people don't have chronic pains, but they have chronic life pains. And there's a difference between a body ache and a body pain and a chronic life pain. And I want to address the chronic life pain aspect and why people and youngsters, kids, are getting hooked on these drugs that put them into a state that they don't know what's going on for hours, if not for a few days. Carl, you know, as an imam for 14 years, I served two communities, and I continue till this day to serve different people around this country. I personally witnessed two cases of opioid addiction. One was a very affluent family where the person would constantly steal his parents' jewelry and stuff just to pawn them to get money to go ahead and buy these drugs and then get into dealing these drugs. And another one who wasn't from a rich family, but the father had to leave his job only so that he could make sure that the son didn't kill himself. And the son was constantly running out of the house, taking the car at night, finding these pills, coming home and injecting them. And once he almost burned himself alive because he dropped the lighter on the sofa, which started burning the sofa, and he passed out from the, you know, what you call it, from the injection. So, of course, they inject themselves, and then they start smoking, and, you know, they pass out. So, Carl, you know, the reason this is happening, now, I'm not a medical professional. I don't know, are you a medical professional? Are you a doctor? Do you have a degree in medicine?
I don't, but I know an EMT, if that counts for anything.
Well, that's a plus. But tonight we're going to talk about how this is becoming more and more common. You know, you and I come from the good old days. You know, we talk about the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. You know, you give a child a cassette today and they'll put it to their ear. They think they're going to listen to something from the cassette. No, you're supposed to put it into a Walkman and then you can listen to it with your earphones. But nevertheless. So
I will interrupt you just because I was actually carrying a conversation about this the other day. So in the description somewhere, whether it's in the comments on Facebook or the email address on our website, if you are interested in receiving this podcast via cassette tape, we have that technology and we have that ability. And that's not really a joke. Drop us a line and we will work out some sort of situation where we can get you the best of on audio tape. But there, I've said that.
That's amazing.
Because that's just because I own that technology. That's why. Back to you, sir.
No, that's amazing. Sorry. Well, you know, in the good old days, Carl, people cared. People cared. The world was big, but communities were close-knit. Quick story. I was walking out of the grocery store with my father one day, and a guy came on his bike and he hit me deliberately, and he threw me down. And my father ran after him. He was on his bike. But everyone that saw this came running. They grabbed me. They looked if I was okay. You know, I remember one person dropped their grocery, literally just dropped and came running to assist. So in that day, in the 80s, the world was very big, but the communities were close-knit. Today, Carl, we have the universe, right, in the palm of our hands. And the reason I say universe is because you could go on NASA app right now and see what's happening in space. And I know you love space, and I check your posts out on Facebook, and you're always giving us updates on what's happening up there. So you could see all that on a cell phone. We brought the world to our hand, but we are further away from each other than ever before. When people have a need, and that need isn't noticed, it isn't addressed, it isn't cared about, ultimately it grows. and it grows. And this person finds himself in a lonely, dark place. And when they're in a lonely, dark place with nothing around them, this is the only thing that gives them the ability to run away from that dark place to a darker place that will make them forget about the dark place that they're currently in. Does that make sense, Carl?
No, it absolutely makes sense. And, you know, as we're sitting here talking about this, I'm thinking about it. And if I'm not mistaken, just over the last year, by the last couple of years, I think we lost Michael Jackson, and they found out that he had a lot of, like, severe painkillers by his desk. And I think Prince was the same thing and stuff like that. So it's to dull the pain, really, you know?
Whitney Houston's daughter.
Another good one.
Right? So, again, what happens is that you could be famous, you could be a celebrity, but you're human, and we all are human. And the thing is that, as I said, we have become so far from each other, we're literally selfish now. And you could see something happening, and the first thing you want to do is take out your phone and record it, because on YouTube and on Facebook, you'll get good numbers, and it'll make you famous. But being there, suffering right now. And the thing is that we become so selfish. So what I want to address today, Carl, is a few steps, which I believe in my heart that I spoke about at that vigil that night on Sunday night, that I feel can help us prevent more people falling into this hole. Because you know what this vigil is about, Carl? They're starting a needle exchange program. You know, it's not like solving the problem, but because they are so addicted to taking these drugs, they're using needles other people are using, and ultimately it's giving them infections and HIV and AIDS and making the situation worse. So it's a step towards curbing this issue by hoping that they don't get sicker than they already are, and hopefully help them get away from this. So the first thing is, I'm calling on all our listeners today to evaluate, have we become selfish or are we still selfless? In my books, I think we have become very selfish because we've become so self-centered because of the technology that we have and that we are engrossed in this technology. We don't see what's happening around us. So point number one for tonight is look up and see what's around you. You may notice a person who is alone, a person who's depressed, a person that's crying. And all you need to do is, number one, see them, Carl. Now, Carl, let me give you a quick example. I went shopping over the weekend for groceries. And I was in line with my daughter, and there was a guy in front of me, and he was paying for his iPad. He purchased an iPad at BJ's and two things. And while they're doing the paperwork, the warranty and stuff, I was worried about my coupons. I'm looking at my coupons and stuff, making sure I got everything in intact. In the aisle across from us, just next to us, a lady was checking out with her son, and she couldn't afford to pay for a $10.63 toy because she already paid for the groceries and it was just more than she could afford. Makes sense, right? Now, I didn't see that because I was self-engrossed in my coupons, making sure everything was right, everything's on the thing. He noticed that. So you know what he said to the lady on the till next to him? He said, "Give me the toy." She already walked away. He was crying. The boy was crying. "Mom, I want that toy." He said, "Give it to me." He paid for it. And then he told them, "Could you go give it to the boy?" $10 changed a state of a child that was crying to happiness. And you don't know what joy brought to him and how it made this child closer to each another human being, because someone went out of their way, and he only went out of the way because he raised his head up and he saw. So the first thing I'm asking our listeners, there are people in your own family, there are people in your house, there are people in your neighborhood, the people you hang out with, they are in a state that you need to see them. That's going to be the first step. Number two is listen. Give people time and give them your ear and listen to them. Instead of wasting time listening to short snippets of this, that, and the other on online, take out 10 minutes and just listen to someone next to you. Do you have something to talk about? Is there something that people just want someone to talk to? And do you know, Carl, when you open yourself up and talk about something, it helps relieve that pain and anxiety and that depression and that hurt just by talking. So if you're giving your ear You're helping someone. If you then give them your shoulder and they cry it out, you're helping them even more. And number three then, console them. Give them some words of consolation and support. You know, you go to a doctor and the doctor says, Carl, you have bronchitis. You're going to be on antibiotics and it's going to be a miserable 7 to 10 days, right? You feel sick, right? And you start feeling more sick because you're like, man, it's this bad. But if the doctor says, I'm giving you a medication and it's going to make you feel better in 5 days. Psychologically, Carl, what's happening now is your body starting to heal because psychologically it believes that this medicine is going to help me, and your body starts the path of recovery before you get to CVS to process that prescription and take it. Make sense?
Absolutely.
So if you can tell someone, you know what, don't worry, I'm here for you, I'll do what I can, and we're going to get through this and you're going to get better, you are psychologically helping person get out of a state of loneliness and darkness to believing in themselves and believing in the fact that they can get off this stuff. And number four, assist the person. Check up on people. See if they're okay. Because remember, as I talked about in the beginning, the withdrawal is the worst. When you stop taking these medications, you go into a state of withdrawal. And that's the toughest time. And it's at that moment that person is made or broken. And most of the time people break and they go and they take a whole dose of these medications and they kill themselves. Carl, did you know that 259 million prescriptions of opioids were given in 2012? How many years ago was that?
Math.
5 years. 5 years.
5 years.
5 years ago, 259 million prescriptions of opioid. That's almost enough for every male, female, adult, and child in this country. Right? 100 million off, according to today's numbers. But 259 prescriptions. Talk to your physicians. Talk to another. Another sign of selfishness, Carl, is what? I'm going to write you a prescription. I'm going to make my money also. Pharmacists are going to make their money. I call on our medical professionals. Prescribe responsibly. And I call on all patients of opioids, take your doses responsibly. And when you have these medications, Carl, and I'm going to end with this, if you have these in your houses, they're not going to sit in the kitchen, in the cupboard, or in the medicine cabinet in the bathroom. They're going to be locked up somewhere in your house that no one gets their hand on, because many a time mom is being prescribed opioids and son is stealing those tablets and taking them or selling them. So this is an epidemic of epic proportions. As I said, we can't cover every angle tonight, but we covered one aspect of it, and that is the disconnect of human beings from human beings that's taking small issues. It starts small. I'm not saying a person who's in depression or pain right now isn't a small thing. No, it started small, but it grew fast and it grew deep and it grew dark only because no one was there to see it, to listen to them, to console them and give them assistance and to believe in them. So, Carl, you know, I could talk on about this because I studied this thing after I was invited just to make sure I understood how epic this thing was. And I have, as I gave you two stories, I have counseled families who are in this position, are still in this position. One, the son has been kicked out of the house, never to come back again. And the other one is just waiting for the morning that I wake up to find that my son is now dead. So that's it for me, Carl. You know, it's painful. In the 21st century, we have forgotten what human interaction is. We have forgotten that the world isn't emojis. The world is human expressions. Stop touching that phone 24/7 and just look at human expressions. And you'll find that it's so much more meaningful if you could help change a frown into a smile in real life than it is on typing it on WhatsApp.
So I will also add to that, because the show is coming to an end, that if you are in a situation where you do need help and you do need assistance and you're wondering where to get that assistance, you can call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. And it's 4357 if anybody cares. But that is the National Drug Addiction Hotline. They are open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And they do have English and Spanish options, because suffering by yourself is not always an option. It is not always a possibility. And I know in my personal experience, if your withdrawal symptoms are not treated properly, sometimes those themselves can kill you, depending on how bad your addiction is. So talk to someone. And I know it seems silly, but sometimes just introducing yourself to someone that you don't know, someone around the office, your neighbor. And I'm not talking about knocking on the door and saying, hey, how are you? Because that, in today's society, that's kind of creepy. But if you see them, smile, say hi. Carry a small conversation with someone, whether it's in the grocery store, make an offhand comment, spark up a conversation. But, you know, one thing that I'll share with you is that I've always been, when we started as humans, as Homo sapiens, when we started, we used hieroglyphics on the walls of the pyramid to communicate. We used pictures to tell stories. And we evolved for 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years. We've evolved. We had Shakespeare, and we've had Andrew Lloyd Webber, and we've had these amazing authors that have written books, Cervantes with Don Quixote. And we're regressing now. We are back to a point where we are using pictures, emojis on our phones to communicate. Mm-hmm. Stop. Look up from your phone, see what's in front of you, and talk to someone.
Carl, just 3 points. That is so powerful, what you just said right now. It reminded me of what one of the youngsters said at the vigil. His father is a psychologist, and he said that we are moving backwards because the crisis that we're seeing right now is worse than the 90s and the late 80s, the AIDS crisis. This is big time. Second thing is, my second point of three is, there are people out there who will listen. And Carl has just provided a number, and we'll put that on the screen also. We'll share it with the podcast as we release it. It'll be on the description of the podcast. You may not find someone in your close proximity or your circle that will listen to you, but I promise you there's people out there that will listen. So don't give up just because the people around you are not listening. You will find someone that will listen, but don't give up. And the third thing, for those who are being approached to listen to someone, stop stigmatizing people in our society. Oh, you come from a bad family. What kind of parents do you have? Do you even follow your religion? You're taking drugs. From the preachers to the counselors to the mentors to the big brothers and sisters to the uncles and the aunts and the grandparents and even the parents, stop and listen. Understand why your son, daughter, nephew, niece, friend or friend's son or daughter has got to this position. Understand what led up to it and try to remove those barriers so that you could re-empower them to be strong individuals for themselves. They have lost their sense of morale. They have lost their sense of belief in themselves. They have lost hope on life. And the last thing they need from us is for us to tell them that they're destined or doomed for hell. So especially to our cultural communities, the diverse cultural communities that exist within the Muslim community, please do not repel these individuals who are facing this. Put yourself in their shoes and say, if I approach someone with a need, a person I don't know, would I want to be judged? Would I want to be told off? No, I want someone to embrace me. So hopefully we embrace one another, and we bring our world back closer to each other. I don't care if this technology goes tomorrow. I don't care if it takes us a billion years to get to Mars. But if we can be close enough to each other and know one another and love one another, I think we've accomplished more than the universe itself.
So I was able to get that number up on screen, and I accidentally took you off screen for a hot second, so people got to see me look really confused as I figured out how to get the text up there. But it's up there now. 800-662-HELP, the National Drug Addiction Line. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I know that's not exactly the happiest note to end on, but we have reached the end of our time, and there is a lot of information and a lot of thoughts here to digest, and we encourage you all to put down your phone, talk to your neighbor, get to know someone near you, and it can start as simply as hello, and it can change someone's life you just really don't know. And I'm not trying to rhyme, I apologize. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the episode. We will say thank you to those that tuned in tonight. I know we had a couple of live viewers. Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, go ahead and drop down at the email address at the bottom of this post on the website. If you're on Facebook, leave your questions in the comment box and they will get to the email so that we can answer them on a future show. I will only say this on this last episode just because I know the voting is coming up in a couple of days. But thank you all that helped us get nominated for the 2017 Podcast Awards. Make dua that inshallah we win. That would be just amazing in our first year. And beyond that, of course, administration PBS style post. Make sure to head over to patreon.com and check us out. Look, search for the Venn Network, and you can support shows like this. And if you like the idea of what Imam Azhar said about this being a 7-day-a-week program, and this will eventually evolve into the new CNN, we'll call it MNN, the Muslim News Network. head over to patreon.com, search for Venn Network, and help support the show, and that's where we can end up, inshallah. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will thank Imam Azhar for joining us this evening, and until next time, we will say assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
For that terror attack overseas,
total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.